This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Good morning, Ashley. Great to have you along today.
Buongiorno, Glenn. It is wonderful to be here, and thank you for that lovely musical greeting, too.
Oh, I do what I can. I do what I can by allowing Mariano to play what he thinks is best, and so that all works out pretty well together. Lots of things going on in Rome today, not the least of which the Holy Father's weekly general audience.
That's right. In fact, today Pope Francis continued his catechesis on the letter to the Galatians. He focused on Galatians chapter 3, verses 19, 20, and 21. And the audience was held within the Paul VI audience hall again. So again, during this hot August month, this gives all of the visitors, the participants, an opportunity to be shielded from that hot sun. So today Pope Francis brought up St. Paul's question, why the law? And that question was posed to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish Christians, wondering if they had to follow the precepts of the Mosaic law. Now, Pope Francis said this was something the apostles had already decided against at the First Council of Jerusalem. He pointed to Acts 15, and Pope Francis went on to say that several times, especially in the prophetic books, it's noted that not observing the precepts of the law constituted what he called a real betrayal of the covenant, provoking God's wrath. Pope Francis said the apostle Paul then explains to the Galatians that in reality, the covenant and the law are not linked indissolubly. He said that St. Paul noted that the covenant is grounded on faith in the fulfillment of the promise. And Pope Francis went on to say that St. Paul was not opposed to the Mosaic law. He often defended its divine origin and its well-defined role in the history of salvation in several of his letters. But according to Pope Francis, the law does not give life. It doesn't offer the fulfillment of the promise because it's not capable of being able to fulfill it, he said. So he went on to say that those who seek life need to look to the promise and to its fulfillment in Christ alone. And he also urged all to welcome what he called the radical newness of the Christian life. Now, today at the papal audience, Glenn, Pope Francis went on to speak about the very sad situation in France, the murder on August 9th of the French priest, Father Olivier Marie, and Pope Francis extended his condolences today. He extended them to the priest's family, to, of course, the parish community, and to all Catholics in France. And Father Olivier was a 61-year-old priest. He was, in fact, the provincial superior of the Montfort missionaries. So this is in western France. And the suspect is a man by the name of Emmanuel Abessegna. He's a 40-year-old man from Rwanda. And he has admitted to the crime. He's also suspected of starting the fire in the Nantes Cathedral in July of 2020. Interestingly, it's also believed that the Pope greeted Abessegna in 2016 during a gathering in Paul VI Hall, that same audience hall that I just mentioned in Rome, during a gathering for the European Fraternity of Joy and Mercy. And so today, Pope Francis specifically extended his condolences to the religious community, to the Montfortian religious community in Saint-Laurent, and also to the family of the priest, to all the Catholics in France. And he wanted to just assure them of his sympathy and of his spiritual closeness at this time. And he also imparted his blessing, Glenn.
Now, Ashley, was that seen as just an isolated incident, even though he himself seems to have had a bit of history with the church?
Right. So this man was actually apparently staying within the community at that time. So it sounds as though, we're still waiting for the details to come out, but it sounds as though it was someone who the community had reached out in charity to and probably understood that this man needed some kind of help and guidance. And so, the police are continuing to investigate and trying to determine any causes. That is completely unknown right now. So we shall see as all this continues to unfold.
Well, sadly, violence and threats of violence can go all the way up the chain of clergy to Pope Francis and the Italian mail service intercepting some death threats.
That's right, Glenn. Yes. In fact, there's a major investigation underway right now in the Lombardy region of Italy after an envelope that was addressed to Pope Francis was discovered in a postal office. It contained three bullets. Now, this was found in an area called Peschiera Borromeo. It's in the Milan periphery. And the manager in charge found it. He's a 57-year-old Italian man. He saw the envelope. He just felt that something was wrong. Why? Because he felt something hard to the touch in the envelope. He saw the destination address was the Pope, and also that it was addressed in pen in barely legible handwriting. He felt something was wrong, and he called emergency services. So what was found were three 9-millimeter caliber Flaubert-type bullets. They were in paper wrappers. Also, there was a computer-written message in broken Italian, and that message was referring to a mysterious banking transaction. That the information, the details of it, have not been released. So there was also a receipt for an unknown 10-euro payment or deposit inside of that envelope. So at this point, the Carabinieri, our armed military police here, have managed to identify who they believe to be the culprit. They did this after carrying out all kinds of surveys on the envelope, on the handwriting, and they claim that this is someone who's already known to the Vatican gendarmes, the Vatican police, who in the past has already sent letters to Pope Francis. And so they right now are in the process of tracking this man's whereabouts. So we will certainly continue to follow this story as it unfolds, Glenn.
Getting the latest from Rome with Ashley Nerona this morning on Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. Mornings, Ashley, are tough enough without a volcano exploding.
That's right, exactly. That's one way to get up in the morning. You don't need an alarm clock in Sicily when Mount Etna erupts. So this happened on the 9th of August at 4 a.m., just before dawn. Imagine that the walls and floors of nearby buildings in the Catania area just were shaking. So Mount Etna, of course, it's an active volcano there in Sicily between Messina and Catania. It's actually one of the tallest active volcanoes in all of Europe. It's about 11,000 feet high, which makes it the tallest peak in Italy south of the Alps. And it's by far the largest of the three active volcanoes in Italy because it's about 2.5 times the height of Mount Vesuvius. It's one of the world's most active volcanoes in almost a constant state of activity. And despite the interesting conditions and threats that the volcano poses, there's also wonderful gifts because, of course, the people in that area manage to enjoy the fertile volcanic soils, and that supports extensive agriculture, a wonderful vineyards there, orchards. And of course, this is all across the lower slopes of the volcano itself. In fact, Mount Etna is even on the UNESCO World Heritage Site list. So what happened then at 4 a.m. on the 9th was that what was called an explosion and bits of tufa rock and ash, that volcanic rock and ash, they just went in every direction all over, especially the town of Catania. Some of the pieces were so big, they were larger than a 2-euro coin. That's our largest coin that we have here. So what's happening now is a major cleanup process that involves big professional-grade blowing machines. It involves lots of sweeping and trying to remove these pieces from all over the city. So by the grace of God, there were no reports of injuries, no structural damage, just some slight delays and lots of rock and ash to clean up, Glenn.
Wow, my goodness. Well, our prayers for all those to continue to stay safe in that area while, those of us many miles away from volcanoes think, wow, that looks kind of cool. But it, of course, right? Can be very dangerous as well. Now, Ashley, we know you're a broadcast pro, so in the next 60 seconds, all we have left, if you could give us a little bit on not one but two different feasts for St. Lawrence and St. Clair.
Yeah, so yesterday, the Feast of St. Lawrence, all of us Italians, we went stargazing, and that's because it's this time of year when we enjoy in the sky the Perseids meteor shower, and so there's an old Italian tradition that those meteors, as they burn out through the sky, that they are often called the Tears of St. Lawrence, so representing the falling, burning tears of that great saint who, of course, was burnt alive on a gridiron for his faith. And the idea is that the meteor shower is representative also of the cold that killed St. Lawrence. So we're looking to the skies to remember that great saint. And then today on the Feast of St. Clare, there are Poor Clare monasteries all over the country who are doing all kinds of special events, including last night a candlelight procession to remember this great saint. There's a novena that's been going on since the second, lots of masses, various testimonies that have been broadcast live, and there's even a final vows that are being professed in one of the convents today. So lots of great ways to celebrate this amazing St. Clare who lived her whole holy life in the wonderful town of Assisi, Glen.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.